Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, hello, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. I'm your host, Roy Richards. On the last two shows, we've talked about practical, hard-headed advice on down-to-earth subjects, planning and investing for retirement, and removing stress from your workday. Today we shift gears and we'll talk about personal inspiration, the unparalleled benefits of conscious aging. As our guest today will expand upon, this means letting go of your fear of aging, that old aging myth, thinking about future possibilities, not limitations as you grow older, viewing the aging process as a pathway to self-fulfillment and spiritual growth, and setting clear intentions for a joyful and purposeful second half of life, advancement not retreat, both before and after retirement. Remember the basic premise of our program: at middle age, your best years are yet to come. If you're new to our program, here's the second half of life we want for you: to enjoy what you do every day and have the freedom to do what you want, to establish and sustain life balance, leaving plenty of time to spend with those you love, to live in beautiful surroundings and to travel whenever and wherever the spirit of adventure prompts you to go, and to live a healthy lifestyle propelled by vibrant energy, both physical and mental wholeness. Our guest today says you can have all four of these positive elements in your life after 40 and much more by focusing on divine innate qualities you already possess. Wake up to who you already are. That's the same message as I praise in my book and on my program. And our guest today is Dr. Tony LaMotta, midlife mentor, spiritual life coach, keynote speaker, and best-selling author of What You Really Want Wants You. Hello, Dr. Tony, and welcome to our program.
Well, hi. Delighted to be with you. Thank you.
Let's get right into it. The effective... We're talking about finding an effective life-changing game plan for middle age, how to remove roadblocks to the life you deserve, the joy, contentment, and fulfillment in life's second half. And I know if I'm a lot of listeners probably have the same problem that I did for a number of years. I had a good job, but not one that brought me any real joy and satisfaction. I certainly didn't look forward to Monday morning. And I set personal and career goals each year and rarely achieved them. And sometimes when people achieve them, they ask, is that all there is? What's ahead? And I was scared of getting old and retiring and said, what's then? What's missing in my life if I'm in that kind of a situation?
What's missing? Well, you know, I think there are two things that have to happen in midlife and that sometimes don't, because people just kind of get stuck where they are. And one is a completion of the past. And one of the things, when you talk about a roadblock to the life you deserve, very often we're still carrying stuff from our past. And I mean that both literally and emotionally as well. I moved from California to Florida many years ago, and I don't think I will ever forget this. I hired someone to help me not only pack, but to release what was in my house. And with everything she touched, she looked at me and said, is this who you are today? And I can't tell you how many times I had to say, no, it's not. And this may sound shocking, but I threw out my doctoral dissertation because... even after all those years of work, what I realized, it was inside of me. Everything I needed to know was here, and I was still carrying that around. I think the same is true with completion of things that, you know, may be hurtful in the past, and, you know, the whole area of forgiveness and letting go. And, you know, I am no longer 10 years old, and if someone did something to me at 10 and I'm still carrying it, you know, and I think that's that often, at least in the experience that I've had, that often is what's in the way. I mean, I had one person in midlife say to me, I really want to move into the job of my dreams, and, you know, what can I do? And he was expecting me to give him a to-do list. And what I said instead was, is there anything incomplete in your life? And he had moved from California to New York, but he wound up leaving half his stuff in California and owing the IRS a great deal of money.
Great.
This may sound very strange, but I said, until you complete with the IRS, you can't move forward in your life. And I really truly believe that, is that we're carrying energy of things in the past that we haven't finished with, so
yeah,
we can't move to the future.
We should forgive to benefit three purposes: ourself for carrying all this baggage, the person that you're forgiving, even though you may not do it face to face, but you know, carrying that grudge is not helping that person. And the third person, or people that are affected, are those that have to listen to you complaining about the past.
Exactly. And so it's some of the forgiveness issues, it's some of the issues of things that we've left undone and we still feel incomplete about, and you know, and then you really can't move forward when you're carrying that much energy. I remember every time I had to pass through my garage, you know, I'd come into my house by the garage,
yeah,
and the garage was cluttered. Until I cleared that garage, there was this little cluttered space in my head. And
I
that's
think
the
maybe
same
I
thing.
Have that same problem. We have a pretty cluttered garage now.
All right. Well, I'm going to encourage you to go clean it then, too, because, I mean, completion is such a big issue for most people. And I don't mean that you have to complete every single thing, but I actually once gave people a list at a workshop of all the things that may be incomplete and said, before you even think about setting a goal for the future, complete the past.
Oh, that's a good
And
good
part of the whole program I now have on conscious aging is the opportunity to look at some of those things and to actually complete them, and then to start getting clear on what it is you really want, because most people don't think about what they really want. They think it's a better boss or a better job, but, you know, it's lots of other things besides that. I'll stop for now and let you go.
Well, we're talking about jobs, career satisfaction at middle age, and what I always say is, will someone pay me to have a good time? Assuming you're not independently wealthy, most people are going to have to continue to earn a living it one way or another. But one of the common problems that we often run into in our midlife, we probably went in to see the boss, that somebody just got a promotion that we really wanted, and the boss looks at you and says, you know, I hate to tell you this, but there really isn't much opportunity that you're going to advance any further in this organization. We like what you do, and we want you to continue doing it, but I'm afraid you're at a career plateau right now. And how do you continue to find satisfaction in your work if you indeed have reached a plateau and the future, you know, your whole life has been wrapped up in advancing up the career ladder, and you had all these visions of grandeur and where you're going, and suddenly that dream has come to an end.
Well, you know, that is one of the crisis points of midlife, is that we suddenly get that everything we think we wanted is not going to be happening. But I like people to look at the end and say, you know, this may sound a little morbid, but what do you really want on your tombstone? That you made it to the top of your company, or that you had X amount of dollars in the bank? Or is it something more in tune with the relationships you have and being fully the person that you want to be? I mean, I think that that's so much more important than, you know, having the job. I know I've had my dream job, and I remember when I left that, somebody said to me, your dream is gone. And another person said to me, no, you had that dream. Now let's have a new dream.
Yeah,
and I think that that's when, one of the things I like to teach people, too, is to find new dreams. And most people don't dream really about that, you know, getting to the top of their company. There are very few people who are that ambitious, and usually they make it if that's their whole focus. But I think For many people, it's a matter of wanting to have more respect, wanting to have somebody appreciate what they're doing. And I go back to helping them to see that until they appreciate that in themselves, it's never going to show up anywhere else. I mean, years ago, this is coming to my mind now, I don't know why, but years ago I wrote a book called Recognition, and it's still in print, but it's not something I recommend necessarily, but it's about, you know, we think we want one thing, but what we're all looking for is someone to recognize us. We want to be seen, we want to be heard, we want to be understood. And most of the times, we don't get that because we're not even giving that to ourselves. We're too busy trying to impress rather than to be who we really are.
I think it's very sad when somebody's whole identity is wrapped up in what their career is and what their position is. And
exactly. And usually those people wind up with very unhappy relationships and all kinds of illnesses and things that are, you know, not exactly what I would call the prosperous life,
yeah,
even
so
though it may look like they have a lot of money in the bank. And
especially,
no, I'm not against
retire,
a lot of money in the bank, but it's certainly not. I think it's the opportunity. Midlife gives us the opportunity to say, what do I really want? I mean, what is it all about? And you know, I've studied a lot of adult development, and it's totally appropriate to want to accumulate and achieve in the first half of life. And the second half of life is all about letting all that go.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the irony of it. It's like when you get it, you then have to start letting it go because, you know, the old proverb, you don't take it with you. But what you do take with you is who you become. You know, and I think that becomes so much more important. And I actually tell people, you can't leave a job until it's okay for you to stay. And that sounds somewhat contradictory, but it's when you can become at peace with where you are that all of a sudden new things open up.
Yeah.
When you're fighting it and you're wanting to get out, I believe what we resist persists. So the more you fight where you are and not getting anywhere, the more you're going to stay where you are and not get anywhere.
Yeah,
the more you decide to be fully who you are in the moment and give the best you can at that moment, things open up. It's amazing. And they may not open up in that particular place, if indeed, you know, you've plateaued, but something else will open up so far beyond what you could even imagine.
Yeah. Once you've plateaued, really the pressure's off. You're not striving to get any higher, and if you accept where you are and just start enjoying the moment and contributing the most you can, sometimes those things do open up because everyone knows how things change quickly in the corporate world these days.
So exactly. And there's something about, once again, the energy that we're giving out. When we're happy, everybody wants to be around us. So people want to give us a job. People want to do things that, you know, they wouldn't be. When, if you're the one that's miserable and complaining all the time, whether you're doing it verbally or just doing it with all your body language and you're unhappy, you know, unhappiness breeds unhappiness. And
yeah.
when you feel good about yourself and you're doing the best you can at that, you know, it's amazing what shows up. I just hear time after time people thought there was no possibility and then something opens up. So amazing.
An energy supplier instead of an energy drainer. That's what everyone wants.
Exactly. So, and people want to be around that person. And so that the company wants to be around you. Or, as I said, sometimes when you are content enough to stay somewhere, that's when a new opportunity opens up and you can actually leave. But when you're fighting it, I just find that's true with everything in life. Whatever I'm resisting, I get to keep in my life until I stop resisting it.
I like to talk about, when you were talking about letting go, like the first half of your life, you're climbing the peak, and maybe at midlife you've reached the peak, and you have a nice descent down, and you can look at it as a sad descent, but why not enjoy the whole ride downhill? You've earned the peak of your accumulation in that stage, so let's enjoy the journey from here on out. And
well, if you think about a roller coaster, what's the most exciting part of a roller coaster is the descent down, really.
Sure.
People going up, everybody's smiling, and then when they're coming down is when all the screams and yells and the hoots and hollers, and if we could think of that in our life, when it feels like it's going down, we actually may be accomplishing more than we know. So.
Well, let's say that I'm getting in my late 50s now or whatever, and I'm starting to think about retirement, but I'm pretty scared about it because I really don't have any plans in mind for retirement, and my whole life has been wrapped up in my job and my career. I mean, hopefully I have a family life and other things outside, but so much of me is wrapped up in who I am and who I work for. How do I assure that I keep growing after retirement and don't become like so many where the spouse hates to have them around because they're complaining all the time. They start developing health problems. A lot of retirees don't live all that long. It's how can a person approach retirement positively so that you can continue the growth process?
Well, one of the things I often like to say to people is you want to be the source of what it is that you want in your life. So if what you want is greater prosperity in some level, you want to find ways that you can help other people. I think midlife is the perfect opportunity to begin doing some kind of volunteer work and doing really making contributions somewhere and looking at, I give you an example from my own life. I started working with hospice, and that's what opened me up to this whole aging thing, because I'm working with a couple of people. Right now I've got a woman 94 and another one 104.
Wow.
You want to learn what's important, and both of them, by the way, are in an assisted living facility, somewhat taking care of themselves. They have need a lot of help, but the 104-year-old in particular makes her own breakfast, makes her own bed. I mean, she amazes me. And she said, I look back and I say, sometimes it would be nice to travel. Her husband was a pilot. She said, I've traveled the world, and I can look back and be grateful for that. And now I can be grateful for the quiet time that I never had. And she said, I'm actually enjoying my own company, which is amazing to me. I mean, I love listening to her because it's such an example of what's possible. I mean, and I'm not saying that most people should just get quiet and enjoy their own company. I think very often, I don't even like the word retirement because I don't know that I'll ever retire, to be honest with you. I'm constantly working. It may not be working for pay or working for the kind of pay, but it's like, what do you really love doing? I discovered that I like making jewelry. I mean, what a fun thing. And I have a group of people that we get together once or twice a week to just make jewelry. And now we're going to trade shows and selling it and just having a delight. It's a creative outlet that I just didn't even know I had the talent for.
It's giving of yourself, giving to others, but enjoy what you're doing while you're doing it. Like
exactly.
I would never volunteer for Habitat for Humanity, even though I think that's a great cause, because I hit my thumb every time I try to hammer a nail or anything. However, I could, do Junior Achievement or council minority startup businesses or something of that nature, because I do have a long business career. So you should
exactly. And there are people who need the skills that you have, you and everyone else out there. It's like every one of us has a skill that someone else is in need of. And I think of, I was on a board of directors for our literacy council for a while. There's such an enormous need for people to learn to read. And if you don't have grandchildren, it's a great way to keep in touch with children, to go into the schools. And I know an awful lot of people that started in midlife, once in a while doing it, and then as they retired, it became the highlight of their week, actually, where they would go and do that kind of work with children. So the volunteer work, or even, it's a great time to start a new business. I think it's crazy, but think about Colonel Sanders and some of the people who started businesses much, much older. And it's the time to stop and say, if I haven't been doing what I really love, what is it that I really love?
Yeah,
and
that's exactly
begin
right.
doing some of that right now. I mean, and again, it's the question of what do you want? I mean, I literally have people working with me write their own eulogy. and say, what do you want people to have said about you? And is it that you sat home and watched TV, or what is it that you brought to the world, and how are you here serving other people?
Yeah, so, one of my exercises in my book that I recommend is writing a future obituary and not concentrate on what you've done up to now, but on what you intend to accomplish over the next, say, 40 years. Of course, we don't set a date for our
time. We are on the same page, exactly.
And I also like to people to go forward in the future 25 years and to sit and pat themselves on the back and say, you know, Grandma or Grandpa, the last 25 years have been the best years of my life, and then start imagining all the things that you would like to accomplish over the next.
And it can be when you stop struggling. You know, I think that everyone over 50, at least I've seen this with most of the women, stop worrying about what everybody thinks. And all of a sudden they can just really be themselves. And it can be the best, you know, most productive time of your life from that point of view. If you really allow yourself to say, okay, who am I really, and what is important? And even for the person who's been a workaholic, you know, who they really are is not just that work.
No.
And they can come to it when you really push comes to shove and you allow them to reflect on it, if they take the time to reflect. And, of course, it's important to do that. So,
you know, that kind of brings me to one of the, well, there's several common midlife personal and family transition challenges, and one of them is the process of aging with physical appearance and the mature appearance coming on, and how these people, so much of our culture is dedicated to buying face cream and having facelifts and, you know, exercising like crazy to keep our youthful figures and all this kind of thing. How best can a person accept where they are in life physically? And like you say, I guess you quit worrying so much about what other people think about you, and you just try.
Yeah, and it's
that.
Almost like I think one of the things that I have seen happen in life is that we become like the five people we spend the most time with. So it's important to spend time with people who are not obsessed with those things, and suddenly they become less important. I know, you know, I don't leave the house without makeup, and I have lots of friends now who wear no makeup and haven't for years, and when I'm with them, it's almost, I almost laugh at myself, and I can see how much more relaxed and what difference does it make. And so I think that's a piece of it. It's like who you're hanging out with. And to really become conscious of the messages that we're getting, especially from the media. I have a personal vendetta against the words anti-aging. I am not anti-aging. And even when my doctor said I'm an anti-aging specialist, I said, I don't want you to stop the aging process. I mean, that's part of my life.
The true answer to anti-aging is to die.
Exactly. If you're anti-aging, and that's part of what this is. And again, when you're working with people on an individual basis, if they're open to really hear about this, you can get in touch with what they're really afraid of. You know, are they afraid that the only thing that's attractive about them is their physical appearance? And is that what they've identified themselves? You know, men may identify themselves with their work more. Women identify themselves with their looks.
Yeah,
and so
really
it's
important.
A huge thing to have your looks change and to say, you know, and I think we don't want to give up. I mean, we can look pretty good, I think,
yeah,
as we age,
the,
but not good for a 20-year-old. You know, I'm happy to look. I'm not afraid to tell people I'm 66 years old, and I am not afraid to say it publicly and on radio here. But it's like, you know, and people always say to me, you look so much younger. And I do. I have good genes that just allow me to look younger. But I almost think that's an insult when they say that. It's like, why is it so special to look younger? What does that mean? I know what ultimately we're afraid of dying. I mean, that's the bottom line of all of this, is that if I'm getting older, what's the end here?
And
that's where most people go.
That's such a strange and backwards attitude to have. In my book, I point out that that's probably the greatest adventure we have ahead is the next stage.
Mm-hmm.
If we have the right attitude toward it.
And, you know, anytime you're with people, I mean, one of the things about working with hospice, you get to be with a lot of people as they're making that transition. And I would say 9 out of 10 people, it's a glorious experience for them.
Yeah.
And
that's
you
wonderful.
May not know what's on the other side, but it sure looks good, you know. And
yeah.
Rather than run away from it, you know, once again, what we resist persists. And if you're constantly afraid of being ill, you usually get ill. So.
Yeah.
It's noticing that. I mean, that's one of the studies. I mean, I've been doing a lot of studies about aging and the myths about aging. And one of them is that people are afraid of all these kinds of illnesses and things, or they're afraid of memory loss, for example. And
yeah,
memory
scary.
Loss is not common. It's like if they really did some studies, they would recognize that what they've discovered is the people who are most afraid of losing their memory are the ones who lose their memory.
Yeah, that's kind of the law of attraction.
Exactly. It's the law of attraction. But science is finally coming, you know, and actually doing some studies. Harvard University did a study to discover that, you know, the real cause of these things is not age, it's fear.
And you know,
and
what? The
old
people,
isn't it?
The old people that are constantly complaining about health issues tend to be the ones that are least healthy. And
exactly.
The one, like you said, that lady that you were talking about, I know a 101-year-old man that scoots around in his scooter in the assisted living. And the other thing this man always demonstrates is extremely high degree of gratitude. Every
yeah,
time they win,
wonderful, exactly.
Right?
And being grateful for everything that is. And that's this 104-year-old is amazing with that. She keeps saying, I am so blessed. I have so much good in my life, and look at how I'm being taken care of, and look at these things. And she does have a son who lives nearby, and I mean, even her son went away for a couple of months, and I thought she'd be upset, and she said, you know, he's going to visit relatives in Sweden, and it
yeah.
excites me that he wants to do that. And I
yeah,
went,
no,
what an attitude.
Wonderful,
you know, there it is. You want to know why somebody lives long and healthy? It's because they live with appreciation and acceptance. The bottom line is acceptance of what is.
Yeah.
And if we think it should be some other way, and so many people think, you know, we should look 20 when we're 50, and that's crazy. And
stop sitting around watching TV all day worrying about the budget deficit and all these other things that we worry
exactly,
about.
Exactly. And, you know, how much yeah. does really most of that affect each individual? I mean, you
yeah.
can live, I've been to India. You watch people live with nothing and
yeah.
live an incredibly happy life because
yeah.
they get their priorities right. And I think that's the opportunity to me that midlife provides, and the opportunity to age consciously. It's like, begin really accepting and appreciating what we have and start living in that state of gratitude and look at the things we're afraid of as, you know, they're shams. They're not real. They're not the real things to worry about. So,
well, we're just about out of time. Tell people about that book of yours. Sounds very interesting, and I did have a chance to read the preview chapters on your website and then Amazon.
Well, wonderful. I actually have a couple of different books, but I'll name the one that was the bestseller. It's called What You Really Want Wants You.
Yeah.
And that book is based on really what I've just been talking about in terms of what's really important to us.
Yeah.
And we think it's getting that promotion. And what's really important is a sense of peace, or what's
yeah.
really important is a sense of freedom, a sense of joy. And when we really understand who we are and how we're made, and in my thinking, it's made in the image and likeness of God, then we have those qualities.
Yeah.
And when we tap into those qualities and recognize that they're already present, life becomes exciting.
Yeah,
you know,
what do you call them, the 12 divine attributes?
Yeah, 12, I call them the divine dozen.
Divine dozen, yeah.
Qualities of God. And so that's my last work. And the work that I'm doing now is on the spirituality of aging. And
yeah,
I actually just have on my website a little booklet on that, which gets people to start thinking. I have a new product coming out that's not quite done, but people could sign up now if they wanted to. And And it's all about how to age consciously and take the steps that we need to look at those myths and look at those beliefs and debunk them, number one, but to also take a look at completing our past. I do all that work in here. And then there's a piece there that's interesting, is that there really are major gifts and spiritual lessons that the aging process itself could teach us.
Yeah.
And so if we take a look at what we're really learning through the process itself, and then finally really creating an intention for a healthy future.
And what's your website that people can go to get those books? And
the best place to go for everything is to go to the website under my name, and that's spelled TONILAMOTTA.com.
And
from there, you can get my book. From there, you can go to the Conscious Aging link. And I think it navigates fairly well so that you can find any of those things and sign up. I have several different lists if you are more interested in midlife issues. On the blog section, there's a place you can sign up for my biweekly newsletter, and all that's free. Or you can sign up under Conscious Aging for information on the Conscious Aging product that's coming out, and there's a lot of free material in on that too.
I would highly recommend you have a free video series on there on Conscious Aging, and I watched the first segment of that, and that was highly enlightening, and I would highly recommend that.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. So they just go to TonyLamotta.com and then click on Conscious Aging. It'll take them to that video, and then you can sign up for all the free ones. I even have a free meditation that gets you in touch with who you really are, you know, moves you from there.
Yeah, well, you know, the similarity of purpose and charter of your organization and ours, middleagerenewal.com, is so similar. I don't think I've ever had a guest so closely aligned to what we're trying to accomplish, and that's people to wake up to the true potential and what they can obtain in the second half of life and why that can be the best years of their life. You know, in Dr. Tony's book, What You Really Want Wants You, you'll get spiritual and inspirational guidance to midlife renewal. And in my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up, we offer practical guidelines and a roadmap for renewal, including 21 self-help exercises. So I would highly recommend both. Of course, I'm prejudiced to highly recommend my own. But you can go to www.middleagerenewal.com, and I offer a free Middle Age Renewal training mini course, so we have free gifts also. And thank you so much, Dr. Tony, for being with us today. I just wish we had more time.
You're wonderful. We'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, we'd love to do Great. That. Thank you so much. Today, I will introduce a website for singles only. Are you recently divorced or just broke up with a long-term partner? Maybe you've been without someone special for a long time. In either case, this may be the website for you. SeniorMatch.com bills itself as the largest and most effective dating site for baby boomers and seniors. They focus on users over 50 years of age and do not allow members under age 30. To tell us more, here's a spokesperson for Senior Match, John Martin. Hello, John, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thank you, Roy. How are you doing today?
I'm very fine, thank you. And you?
Good, thank you as well.
Well, tell us a little bit about your service and what distinguishes you from other online dating services.
Certainly. Well, SeniorMatch.com is one of 38 niche dating sites that we run. Our company is called Successful Match. We've been in the online dating business for around 11 years or so. Senior Match obviously is one of the niches that we've kind of focused more on as of late, specifically in regards to dating for baby boomers on up. Basically, it's a dating site that's also run as a kind of an online community of sorts, as we actively promote the blogs and forums that we have on there as well. So usually you have a lot of people signing up on the site specifically to meet others for anything for like dating to having a long-term relationship with, or even just having activity partners.
Yes, I noticed you had real interesting senior blogs and forums there that allow people to communicate with a number of others. Seemed like a very. You also mentioned you have live senior counselors that are available. Tell us a little bit about that service.
With the senior counselors, basically, it's a feature that we provide for assist people that are unsure about how to navigate the site, answering questions that they may have about certain aspects of the features or how they should respond to certain contacts, that sort of thing. And it's really just kind of an added advice service, that sort of thing. I mean, again, people will use the blogs and forums to discuss all sorts of topics and issues regarding their personal lives, dating online, that sort of thing. But I mean, at the same time too, when you're dealing with online dating, a lot of times people kind of just blindly go into there. So to have that option where you have a counselor or someone who can assist you with that, we find it's a great bonus for that.
Yeah, I like that, both that and the fact that you can communicate with other singles. Not necessarily somebody you want to date, but just exchange ideas and topics and stuff. I think that's a great deal. And how does a person join your service? I guess you can join right on your website.
Exactly. And they would just go to the website to create a profile. Only takes about 3 to 5 minutes, depending on how in-depth you go into the write-up about yourself. And we have two separate memberships on the site. One is a free, what we call standard membership. The other one is a paid, or what we call a gold membership. So it really comes down to what a person's looking to accomplish with the site. If they're looking to be reactive in the ways of making a match or meeting somebody, we highly usually suggest using just the standard membership, so they're not billed for anything. If, on the other hand, they're more into kind of doing the hunting rather than being hunted themselves, we usually suggest going with the paid membership, because it gives them a lot more options about who contacts them, how they contact other people, that sort of thing.
I see. And say I'm located in the Des Moines, Iowa area, and I like to talk to people from Pasadena, California, but I probably wouldn't want a romantic relationship. How do I make sure I meet people within my own area?
Like I said before, either using the blogs or forums on there, also sending off the winks to people, so you're initially interested in them. They're like little one-sentence notes just to basically show interest. We also have people to send emails and instant message others as well.
Oh, I see. But you would hopefully find other seniors or people in your age group in your general geographic area, so that you wouldn't have to go clear across the country to date somebody.
True enough. You can actually search for people. The options for searching for others is actually quite varied. So you can certainly do a search based off of their location, based on the age range, that sort of thing. So if you're in Iowa and you're looking to chat with people in Iowa, you can do that, or you can set it to chat with people or to check out profiles from all over the world.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I also like, you have a whole lot of brief paragraph advice for various subjects that you can go to on your website, and there's all kinds of interesting information on there. And what's that web address again?
Oh, certainly. It's www.seniormatch.com.
And I noticed, John mentioned, his company is actually sponsors a whole bunch of dating websites, and there may be some other ones that might be of interest. So they could go to successfulmatch.com, and that gives you a list of all the websites or all the dating services that you have. There's one might especially be interesting to ladies over 40 called olderwomendating.com, and it's totally free for cougars.
Exactly.
I got a chuckle out of that one. And thanks so much for joining us today, John, and I hope some of the those lonely heart listeners out there will take advantage.
Certainly. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, Roy. Have yourself a great day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.